Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.
This is The Guardian. I had to go about it, write it out and find it
myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. Hello from the final word, Ashes Daily. Welcome to Emma John. This is the UK. Or something like that. Look, it's all very well for my Australian colleagues Adam Collins and Jeff Lemon over in Melbourne. For them, the Boxing Day test actually starts on Boxing Day. Here in England, the game's scheduled start was 11:30pm on the 25th of December, so you'll understand if I'm not in the sharpest of states. I blame the brandy butter for the blurry confusion I experienced during the first session of this third test. Rain had delayed the start, so I stole a little nap, and when I woke up to see Joe Root and David Milan at the crease together at 13 for 2, I did hope, for a moment, that we were seeing a replay of the last test. And in a sense, we were. Because here came another horrible batting display from England. The difference was, of course, that Pat Cummins was back to lead Australia, and he had barely won the coin toss before he'd nipped out Haseeb Hameed. Unfortunately, England's batters were only too ready to hasten their own demise. Milan was out on the stroke of lunch, Root on the stroke of making a half century. Ben Stokes and Johnny Bairstow offered the obligatory lower order resistance, but they couldn't withstand the building pressure from Nathan Lyon and Cameron Green. If there was an idea, who are we kidding? Of course there was an idea. It was Jos Buttler rushing down the pitch to Lyon with the score at 128 for 5 and managing to pick out the sole outfielder in the vast green space of the MCG. It was a shot that could, if it wanted, become the symbol for England's entire Ashes tour. It could play the lead in the TV montages. It could work its way onto T-shirts. Heck, it could probably go on its own speaking tour. After all, it said volumes about what state the England team are in right now. 185 all-out wasn't England's lowest score of this series, but it was still their worst. They came into this test needing to save the Ashes from 2-0 down, and in a few short hours, they rendered their aim all but impossible. Australia finished the day 61 for 1. Over to Adam and Jeff at the scene of the crime.
The final word, Boxing Day, day one. It went as per the script, didn't it? It wasn't a terrible batting day. It wasn't a green mamba. It wasn't horrific conditions out there. I thought in the morning session, Pat Cummins was the only really good bowler. Scott Boland was serviceable. Mitchell Starc was wayward. Pat Cummins was devastating. Got 3 down at the lunch break, but they could still have made a fist of it from there. And it was the second session that was dire. It was the second session that really threw the match away, basically, on the first day.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the scorecard, 185 all out, and it'll look a certain way, but it wasn't drifting in the second hour, but through Root and Milan, the game just looked different. When those two are batting together, it looks like these two teams can compete. Any other combination, and they don't. There's this fundamental mismatch when Root or Milan fall. In the case of England today, it was the number 3 on the stroke of lunch, which was so important in the way the day flowed. If they're walking back out there, different story, but Cummins bringing himself back for a second quick blast before lunch, finds the outside edge, pouched by Warner, and so it goes. And then, yeah, you're right, it was the middle session, wasn't it? Root on 50 for the ninth time, he gets a half century in Australia without being able to convert it. You know, a shot that he'll be... Well, he was gutted, by the way. You could see in his response to it. He was devastated to get out that way again. And he batted so beautifully to that point, which makes it all the more frustrating.
As he's done with each of his 50s in this series so far.
But I think this might have been the most aesthetically pleasing. Like, he just looks so good. Ball hitting the middle of the bat. It felt like it was a lock for a ton. But, yeah, we should know better than that because there's this pressure this Australian attack can create. Mm. I wouldn't go as far to say that Australia only had one good bowler before lunch. I think they all played a role in contributing to the 3 wickets to fall.
Only one super dangerous bowler. You know, it wasn't an assault from all sides.
No, it wasn't like Brisbane Day One.
No, it wasn't hanging on by your fingernails. It was that Cummins was real quality, and I didn't think any of the 3 wickets that Cummins got fell to batsmen who had done much wrong. Haseeb Hameed didn't do much wrong. He got a beauty. It moved away from him on that perfect line that he had to play. David Malan had one pretty straight that decked away and went to slip. Yep. You know, the other one went to gully. It was quality bowling that made that happen. It was horrible batting in the middle session. I mean, Root gets out to a guide outside the off stump that he's reaching for when he's been practicing leaving all day. Both Stokes and Bairstow try to ramp the ball over the slips. I mean, I don't know, is this to talk about brave batting or we better ramp it over the slips more? That's what you do when you bat bravely. And then Butler, I cannot express to you how much space there was. Unless you're actually at the ground watching it, the vast acreage on the leg side that literally has one lonely white dot in it. If you asked someone to hit that and nothing else, they would find that very difficult. And yet, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, I think it's worth kind of going through them all. Let's start with Root. I quite like Chris Rogers' analysis about how Root struggled to ride the wave of the innings against Australia, and that's been a bit of a pattern. The comparison he drew was between the way that Root played Cummins, busy, industrious, trying to knock Cummins off his immaculate line and length. The contrast being to Stark, who you don't need to do that to, because Stark will give you balls to score from. You don't need to create opportunities that aren't necessarily there against Stark, because it happens organically. And that's where Root fell to that. Just misreading the tempo of where the game was at that point. Yep. Because to that point, I think there was some stat that he scored from 42, or not scored from, tried to score, played a scoring shot from 42 of his first 43 balls, something like that. But so there's that dismissal. Stokes was victim of a pressure cooker environment that was created by Lyon and Green. They were just all over him. He was trying everything. He was charging deep in the crease, pop line into the grandstand down in the southern stand at one point. He was doing everything he could to transfer pressure back the other way and just couldn't and was trapped. And then let's go to Butler, which might be the worst dismissal I think I've ever seen from a senior player in a test match. And that's no reflection on this guy's character. I love Joss Butler. He's brought me so much joy over the years. But for me, it looks a tired man. It looked an exhausted man in so many ways that how could you arrive at the conclusion at that particular juncture that the right thing to do was exactly that? I mean, yeah, there's the acreage, but then there's why is there the dance? Why is there the risk at that point? It's all about risk mitigation, the over before tea, especially when they lost a wicket the over before lunch, especially when they'd already lost 3 wickets in the session. But he couldn't resist and paid the price, and there will be understandable questions about his suitability to continue through the rest of the series. If it were me, I'd just send him home. If they're 3-0 down in 2 or 3 days' time, I'd say, Joss, get a break, man. You've got a lot of cricket ahead of you in 2022. Forget about cricket for a month or two.
Mm. Yeah, and look, Johnny Bairstow looked pretty good. Made 30-odd and did that thing that he does where he looks pretty good for 30-odd and then gets out. He was less culpable in that he did get a difficult delivery from Stark, but he was still shaping to play the uppercut. And he still tried to play it. You know, it came back at him, followed him a bit, kept a bit lower. He said, I spoke to him at the stumps bit, and he said, he said most of those had been carrying higher, and that one kept lower than he'd been expecting it to. Sure, but he was still trying to ramp it over third slip with a stacked cordon. I still don't understand the rationale of trying to do that on the first day of a test match.
I just think it's a debacle by then, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, if you're Johnny Bairstow, he's played a lot of test cricket. 79th test match or something this might be. He knows full well it's all out 180 unless he gets on the heater at that point. Yeah. And he's like, well, I'll try and engineer that by batting in white ball Johnny mode. And you know, it's risk reward. And it didn't quite go right, but it's emblematic of where they're at more generally as a batting group right now. You know, we brushed over the Zach Crawley dismissal, but it doesn't look great when trying to play a ball to mid wicket that ends up at goal.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Haseeb Ameer got a good one, like you say, but good ones tend to follow guys who are going through a rough trot, look good at Brisbane, but has looked nowhere since.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I said...
50th duck of the year for England.
50th duck of the year. Haseeb has four of those in five test matches.
Yeah. So Andy Zaltzman told me that out of 15 tests this year, an England opener has made a duck in 12 of them.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Put Wokes to open is not actually crazy at this point. Like he might make 15, you know?
It sounds like what I was saying in 2018. Make Stokes open, Wokes rather open or bat three. I just feel like that, you know, I'm backing over some old territory here, but it just felt so inevitable today. From the moment that Cummins won the toss, we could have had a stab at making this podcast at 11 o'clock and we would have got near enough to the pin, and that's because there's no competitive tension in this series right now, and that's desperately sad.
It was more of a debacle, I felt, because the bowling conditions weren't as good. It wasn't like Brisbane was tougher than this, you know. Brisbane, they were more likely to get out to decent bowling. Today it was a fair bit of, I don't know, giving up sort of shots. But
what do you make of just put a question to you, are we nearly at the point now where Pat Cummins is like the greatest Australian fast bowler? I mean, I feel like that's not too much a stretch. 174 wickets at 21, a strike rate of 45. No one has taken more wickets for Australia at a lower average or a better strike rate. I know he's only played 36 tests, but if he plays 36 more, I mean, the guy is just, he's just a freak.
Well, what's he up to, 175?
174. Yeah. 174 now. I mean, there's nothing he can't do, and he's getting better test on test.
And he's captaining the team.
And he's captain. Remember that debate about whether his bowling would be
as tougher if he
was wearing the captain's armband? Remember that?
And yeah, it probably won't be as good in Chennai, for instance, but in these conditions, in home conditions, he was so good. He looked very good for the rest. Looked like, you know, I think in hindsight, it'll be almost a masterstroke that he got COVIDed out of a test match because he's got through 2 5 test Ashes series before, but they had longer breaks between the matches. I think he would have really struggled to get through. So each of those had a period of 10 days somewhere with a tour game or whatever where he didn't have to play. This time they were all three, four, five, six-day turnarounds. I don't think he would have got through all five, and I think it would have been a huge angsty debacle, like, you can't rest the Australian captain, and they would have either played him and broken him, or people would have been furious when he got a rest and maybe Australia lost the match or something.
Well, even the way that Scott Boland can walk in today and look pretty much at home. I know that Hazelwood will play next week. I saw him bowling in the nets today. Like, cool, whatever, no dramas. Yeah. But there have been 6 Australian fast bowlers used in 3 test matches, and all of them have done well for their country. No one has been, so to speak, the weak link. They could play any combination of those 6 right now, and they're going to take 20 wickets. Mm. And that is an envious position to be in when you consider that only, 10, 11 months ago, whenever that final test was at the Gabba, they were so anxious about keeping the big four together. They played them all the way through the series and they were knackered by the end of it. So it shows some growth, even if it was in Cummins' case because of COVID and Hazelwood's the niggle, but it shows that they've got this bigger picture mentality, which was such a benefit in 2019 in England.
And until this season, at least for the moment, I mean, they've never had a proper all-rounder really since about Keith Miller, and now they've got a guy who can bowl 144 k's an hour and bowled the best delivery of the day. You know, didn't take a wicket, but the ability that Green has to bowl those ones that take off, that shoot up with pace, or that move a bit off the seam at the same time, you know, he bowls some devastating stuff.
He is now taking 6 wickets in the series. 2 of them are Joe Root, 2 of them are Ben Stokes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's bowling routinely. I'm not saying like a ball or two, routinely at 144, 145. With that laconic approach, loping in from that height, he's going to take a disgusting amount of test wickets for a test number 6 if it plays out that way.
As long as his body stays together. And, you know, I'm always anxious about predicting big things for players in case that, you know, it may not happen. But at the moment, he's got that possibility. So, look, some wonderful things happen, some terrible things happen today. The Final Word Hall of Fame, this is where we pick our favourite moment of the day.
Yes, and I had the presence of mind to listen to them as we went today, Jeff. I'm not scrambling at the last minute before we hit record. The Welcome to Country from Arnie Joy, the Indigenous Welcome to Country. Always special at the MCG, but when she acknowledged Scott Boland and congratulated him as an Indigenous Australian cricketer, the way the MCG responded, it was such a special Boxing Day moment, as it was when Boland came on to bowl, as it was when he got his first wicket. It was reviewed. They got the double celebration. I just loved everything about Scott Boland's day. He's the oldest seamer to debut for Australia since 1950. So he wouldn't have thought this was going to happen, and it does, and it's beautiful. And I think, you know, days like today, we can kind of step back from all of that and see a guy who's worked his guts out for a decade at Shield level, getting his chance and taking it with two hands. Well played.
Especially that, I was also going to nominate that response to his wicket, because, you know, he's not the biggest superstar Victorian player. He's not the one you'd most expect, you know, the MCG to roar about, and yet there they were when it came up as three reds for the LBW. Like, they could not have been more pumped. There was Scott Boland knocking over the number eight when England were, you know, six for bugger all, but didn't matter. They were delighted.
We love you because you're a Victorian, as we used to sing when we were younger. Speaking of Johnny Bairstow asking for a banana one over after tea.
Okay.
That wasn't orthodox, but hey, do what you need
make
to do,
make those bodies sing.
There was a picture that
make those Johnnies sing.
Adam's wife posted of Johnny Bairstow today, sort of blowing his cheeks out. He goes, "Oh, a dead ringer for Henry VIII." He absolutely is a dead ringer at the moment for Henry VIII, especially when he kind of does the thing, which he was photographed doing earlier today.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, so they're my nominations.
Did you know that Peter Siddle used to enjoy eating a banana once in a while? Do you think we could have about 3 years of endless commentary about Johnny Bairstow enjoys eating a banana once in a while? Oh, yeah, the yellow fruit that you peel. Oh, I love those.
That headline in the Daily Mail, that long protracted headline in the Daily Mail, which read, "Yes, we know that Peter Siddle likes to eat bananas, but isn't 13 a day a bit on the high side," or something like that?
The endless fascination of things that cricketers eat. Do we have a player of the day's Pat Cummins, isn't it?
Player of the day's Pat Cummins. He's taken now over 100 wickets in Australia at 20.6. These numbers are getting better. Mm. You know how some cricketers start their test career and have ridiculous starts, like Kyle Jamieson averaging 16 now. He won't average 16 in a couple of years. Pat Cummins is on the cusp of having a bowling average that starts with 20, not 21. You can kind of count on your fingers the number of prolific fast bowlers who have done that since 1900, and who knows where it'll go from here. I mean, what can you say? This guy just bursts open test matches every time he chucks himself the ball.
Yeah, which he can now do. He can choose to have it whenever he likes. All right, that's enough from us. This has been the Final Word Ashes Daily. We will be back, as the name suggests, each day of the Ashes. That might be 3 days for this test match, the way that it's looking at the moment.
Probably.
We would like it to be more, honestly. You may think that we're enjoying this, but we'd rather like it to be somewhat more competitive. Look, Jeff Lemon, Adam Collins, that's us. You can find us on patreon.com/thefinalword or other places on the internet. Let us know how you're enjoying the show. And we will be back with you for day two. See ya.
Night. I had to go about it.
That's it for today. Thanks from Adam, Jeff and me for listening. We will see you back here tomorrow. If you liked this episode, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The episode was produced by Sophia Tarek, and The Final Word is produced by Bad Producer Productions and edited by James Hurley. The executive producers are Gabrielle Jackson and Melanie Tate.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.